Hi everyone, it's time for a new podcast of Making Society, talking about open hardware entrepreneurs, how to build your hardware startup, and how to be successful as a maker. Before to start with today's interview, a few words about Making Society. I am very happy to see that you're more and more to check my website regularly. I even get emails from you thanking me for some resources that you found interesting. I really love that. Thank you. I also created a Making Society newsletter. I send it usually on Fridays, twice a month, and it keeps you updated about important deadlines for participating to hardware events and all kind of links that I would find interesting for the open hardware entrepreneur. So go on makingsociety.com and you should find the form easily to sign up. Today's interview is with Emil Petron. He's a CEO and founder of Tindy.com. Tindy is a marketplace for makers who want to sell electronics more easily by opening their store directly on the website and start selling their creations, even in very small batches. I was very interested to know more about how does it work, what does it take to be a seller, a successful seller on Tindy, and if some makers are actually living from the website. In this interview, Emil gives a lot of advice and interesting insights about his website. So I think you might find it interesting. Let's get to it. I'm very excited to be with Emil Petron, CEO of Tindy. Tindy, which is a marketplace for makers who want to sell electronics and hardware online. So hi.
Hey.
Do you want to tell us a little bit more about what's Tindy today and how it works?
Sure. So, I mean, you hit it right on the head. So Tindy is a marketplace for people to buy and sell electronics, overwhelmingly that they've designed and made themselves. We do have some people that may sell extra components that they have on hand just to offload those. But overwhelmingly, it's products that individuals around the world have made and designed themselves, and it's the easiest way for them to reach kind of a global market for those products. So I was just checking right now. So we've got over 1,200 products that have come through Tindy, which is much larger than I guess the last time we spoke. And in terms of sellers, that's somewhere over 350 sellers that are in 40 plus countries around the world.
So what kind of product are people selling? Is it only electronics or anything else? Like, what are the type of products that you can find on Tindy?
Yeah, so it's overwhelmingly, I think, electronics. So we're more focused on the tech side of the maker space, if you want to look at it like that. So we've got products ranging from Arduino shields, Raspberry Pi shields, robots, drone components. Basically, if you can think of it, we've probably got some version of it. Where the top seller, I think, right now has been a Raspberry Pi weather station called AirPi, and that was made by two 17-year-olds in London. And then we've also got things like a lightning sensor by Todic, who is a maker in Connecticut, and two robots. You know, we've got everything. So it's kind of anything that has some sort of electricity applied to it. It's probably on here somehow.
Do you want to tell us more about who are the sellers? And like, first of all, do you know them? Like, how do you meet them? Or, you know, like, do you know who is using Tindy? And what's their typical, you know, profile or background?
Sure. So when I started it, I definitely didn't know any of them. I knew no one. I was just somebody that was interested in kind of playing with Arduino and Raspberry Pi, and just threw the idea on Reddit. And the sellers basically all kind of stemmed from that initial seed that was planted on Reddit. So from there, I've gotten to know a lot of the sellers that are on the site. And the general, I guess, the background of them is, generally speaking, you know, some sort of either an EE degree or somebody that has extensive knowledge in hardware. But, you know, but there isn't kind of like, I guess, a good profile, because the age range is, I'd say, somewhere from 60 to, we've got some 13-year-olds that are selling computers that they've made. So it really ranges from, you know, teenagers all the way up. And generally speaking, they're probably 1 to 2 person teams, and they're really, you know, they probably have something going on as a typical day job, and this is something that they do on the side as their passion or their hobby. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they really just, before Tendi, didn't have a place to sell. So they were probably on eBay, or a couple were on Etsy, some were on Amazon, but the majority, I guess, sold through their own personal websites and through forums on the web. And this was kind of just the first place that's allowed for this community to really kind of come together around common interests and really kind of build an identity as a group. And so that's kind of what's brought everybody together. And, you know, on a daily basis, we've got an IRC channel on the Freenode for Tendi. So it's just #Tendi. And basically you can talk to sellers all day, every day, because people are on there 24/7 with people in Europe or here in America or in Asia, mm-hmm. Around the clock, basically. So it's at the point where I talk to them constantly.
So it's not only Americans, for example. It's
No.
All over the world. Okay.
Yeah, we've got over 39 other countries.
Mm-hmm. And I'm interested to know a little bit more about the products themselves. Do you know if it's mostly open hardware, electronics, mm-hmm. or not only? And second question, if it's mostly components or kits, like ready to be built, what's the typical product?
I mean, overwhelmingly, they are open. And I think it's just kind of the nature of the community. That was something that just kind of happened as like a trend that the open community kind of started to rally around this idea. And especially for selling, you know, brand new products that people have never seen before or never heard of the seller before, it's actually been a really great net positive, where people can see the schematics, they can see the code, they can get a feel for what it does before they even have to make a purchase. And that really lowers the barrier for someone to say, yeah, that's great. I'll, you know, pay 20, 30, 50, whatever it is, dollars to get that. And so, you know, the majority are open. And I think mm-hmm. that's been an overwhelmingly positive thing for the sellers and obviously for Tendi. Mm-hmm. In terms of kits are assembled, you know, I think it's a combination of both, but I think probably more right now it's kits, just because they're easier to sell and easier basically to get together. So, you know, for a seller, they just need to get the components and get the PCB manufactured, and then they can just drop them into kits themselves manually. But some are assembled, and you know, it's kind of, I guess, moving more in that direction, but initially it's been more kits.
Mm-hmm. And the sellers are makers themselves, and do you feel like they are mostly selling to other makers who want also to build and prototype, or also maybe more like educational field, like kids wanting to learn, or teachers, or families, or, you know, who are they selling to?
Sure. So, you know, I think the one thing is that for most of the sellers on the site, they've been doing this longer than the term making has been around. You know, they've been doing this for probably, you know, 5-10 years before Make Magazine even was probably an idea at that point. So they've been doing it forever. And I think it's now just catching up to where, you know, the wider population, wider world is starting to catch on and see what they're doing. And it's really interesting, I guess, to see the adoption, because initially, I thought it would be just hobbyists, and it would just be some interesting place to find interesting things and interesting components and different things to play around with and different projects. But what we've seen is right now we're about 15 months old, and increasingly we're getting more university orders. So different labs or departments are actually ordering larger order sizes. as well as government departments that we've had made direct purchases through us. And then also we're getting more and more actual business-to-business orders, so businesses that are buying larger and larger quantities from prototyping all the way up to production. And that's kind of, I guess, an interesting thing that we didn't expect, but has been a pleasant surprise.
Mm-hmm. Like, do you want to tell us more about what's the typical order? Is it mostly one by one or big quantities? Like, what's the average?
I think by average, it's probably, you know, it's individual single digits. But, mm-hmm. you know, increasingly we're getting orders of, you know, 10 plus units, which are, you know, I think I qualify those as basically those are prototyping orders. And then we've had orders for hundreds to thousands of units at a time. So we're definitely getting more of those much larger orders. But I think, you know, in terms of average, you know, generally speaking, it's still those smaller orders, which are generally speaking, people either hobbyists at home or people that are just have a one-off use case at work. Mm-hmm. And once basically that project or whatever they're working on has some sort of formal business application, that's when we start to see then the prototyping quantities pick up.
Mm-hmm. I have looking at the open hardware startup world, I created this wiki that lists the directory for all open hardware startups. And
right.
What I found was that it was most makers, entrepreneurs were having businesses on the side. Their startup was more like a side project they would do by passion on weekends with the hope of one day living from it. Are there Tindy sellers who can already live from the Tindy store? Is it something happening or is still new and...
No, I mean, we're definitely at half. So we've had people that have left their startups that they actually helped co-found to work on their hardware business full time. We've had people leave their jobs and basically start pursuing, you know, their hardware business full time. We've also had people that basically had to form companies because of the demand. And basically, when we tried to send a payment for someone's orders to the UK, they actually had to set up a business because PayPal wouldn't let them accept the funds unless they had a formal business around the organization. And even then, it was still not enough to get the money. So we've seen actually the gamut where it's basically gone from people in their homes forming businesses to people leaving their jobs to people, you know, leaving companies they've even co-founded. So it's definitely happening.
Mm. Great, that's exciting. Like, so what's it, how does it work when you're, as the examples you were giving about, people who, now are living from it and building their mm-hmm. business, do they, manufacture themselves? I guess not. They are using services or like, do you help them in this process or are they on, you know, how do they scale?
Yeah, so I mean that's the interesting question that we're facing right now because increasingly the demand is outstripping their capabilities. Initially speaking, most of them figure that out on their own, where they're either working at some people will go to you know maker spaces, hack spaces to you know CNC their own stuff or laser cut their own parts depending upon what it needs. If it's PCB manufacturing, you know that they'll basically find somebody that can prototype a couple of quantities and then get the PCBs made themselves through a variety of services around the world. But
do you have a few names or recommendations?
Yeah, I mean, you got Osh Park is great. That's here in the States. And that's generally speaking, you know, the most of our sellers are in the U.S., so we use mm-hmm. them pretty extensively. Mm-hmm. And then I guess, you know, it depends on where you're located because – the one problem that we have, and this is also with shipping, is because we have sellers that are everywhere from China to Australia to South America to, you know, all over the place, basically. It doesn't make sense for some people to use a PCB manufacturer here in the States, and it's much better for them to use somebody that's more close to them, whether it's local or elsewhere. So it's we as in including all of the sellers, use a lot of different companies, and it's the same for shipping. It's very... it's tough, I guess, to box everybody into individual buckets mm-hmm. when they're so diverse.
Talking with makers who are, like maybe launched their crowdfunding campaign and they have a product, almost ready, to be shipped. I found out that it seems to be a very tricky part of, the business, the logistics part of it. How you deal, you negotiate the shipping cost and how you make sure that the product arrives in one piece and for a reasonable price. Is it something you also see a lot?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it's complex, but it's something that's obviously solvable. So people can find a solution wherever they are. You know, there are fulfillment shops and there are manufacturers. It may take you a little time to find it, but you can definitely find it. I mean, I guess the critical thing is that once a business reaches a certain level of scale where they're shipping orders every single day, it becomes almost unsustainable for a small business of 1 to 2 people to keep doing that and realistically start thinking of improvements to existing products to come up with new products altogether. You know, the time is spent basically packaging orders and putting them into boxes and driving to the post office when they would rather be designing new products. So it's something that we've actually started to look into is, how can Tendi help with that process? Because it's something that we see universally around the world. And as we continue to grow, it's not something that's going to stop. It's going to just basically become more and more complex. So is there a way for Tendi to help sellers solve that? We think so, but we're still in the exploratory phase.
Because so far what you offer is the marketplace, like the easy visibility, the page for the seller, I guess maybe the payment system is built in. And what else? What's the range of services?
Yeah, I mean, up until this point, it's been a straight marketplace. So it's free to list any product that you have. So if you've got an idea that's some sort of hardware or electronics, you know, throw it up on the site. It's totally free. And I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. And from there, it's basically, you know, we handle the payments. So the customer will, you know, go through the site, check out with a bunch of items. And at the end, then we'll hold the money in escrow where once you've shipped the order, you just mark the order is shipped on Tendi, and then you are able to disperse the funds directly into your PayPal account with just a click of a button. So it's totally automated, totally simple. And, our role in the ecosystem is basically to help get your product, you know, in front of as many customers as possible and to get that traction. Because what we've heard is that, the hard part is actually getting noticed. You know, for some of the bigger Kickstarter projects, it seems like, oh, well, people are just going to come knock down your door once you launch the product. And that's not, I guess, the normal experience. Most people have trouble, I guess, getting noticed in cyberspace. So this is the easiest way for someone to basically get the product up, out into the world and to get it in front of, customers that are basically coming to Tendi every single day, looking to see what is the latest and greatest in terms of, you know, new hardware that's coming out from people's garages.
Mm-hmm. And what are your recommendations in terms of marketing strategies for the sellers? Should they have their own website on the site and, I don't know, like Facebook page, Twitter account, this kind of thing?
Yeah.
Or should they focus mostly on their Tendi page? Like, what's a successful ways of doing this?
Yeah, sure. I think you got to do a couple things. So I think first and foremost is make sure that you've got great photos for the products and you've got a great description. That's kind of like the first step. Next is, great documentation and, make sure people can understand the product as fully as possible. And that's also something that some people, it's not something they think about, but it's definitely, it's a critical part because if people can't understand how to use it, they're not going to buy it. And then from there, once the Tendi listing is up, then it's a matter of, how can you start driving as much traffic as possible and driving people to see the listing. And from there, it's things like, Reddit has been really great for Tendi and posting your project on whatever subreddit is most appropriate, whether it's Arduino, Raspberry Pi, electronics, that's been a great way to get traction. Having a personal website, I think is great. Most people do at this point. But, it's basically, I guess, for documentation and basically brand building as much as anything. You know, Hackaday for getting people to see it, submitting it there. Hacker News is pretty good. It's not as hardware focused, obviously, but it can do, if it basically gets to the front page, you're going to get a lot of traffic.
Some sellers are they also being distributed on hardware stores like, I don't know, Adafruit or MakerShare, mm-hmm. this kind of yep. big retailers?
Yeah, no, we've started to see that, yes. So mm-hmm. some of the more popular products are starting to get picked up elsewhere, and it's I think a validation in terms of the quality of the products that people are making on their, you know, that are coming onto Tendi. So the expectation, I think, initially is people wonder, well, how great can these products be if it's one or two people making them themselves? Because the expectation is that to have a great hardware product, it has to be built by some sort of company, corporation that has, you know, massive headcount. And that's just not the case anymore. So, you know, when those products get picked up by outside retailers, it just basically validates that the quality is there, that people are able to produce at scale, and what we're doing is having a real impact.
Mm-hmm. So in a way, maybe it's good for makers who are in the beginning of the process of building their open hardware company. It's maybe good to start with their own website and maybe Tindy to start selling maybe one by one, and then I don't know, get some training about the manufacturing part and slowly scale in a way. Like, I don't know, like, is it something that makes sense? It's a good way to, you know, just start, give it a try in a way, right?
Yeah, no, I think that's okay. Right. And it's definitely something that you're only going to learn by just doing it. You're not going to learn this process by reading it in a book, and you're not going to learn about it by reading blog posts. Mm-hmm. It's something that you're only going to learn by going in, throwing a product out there, getting some orders, figuring out fulfillment, because you quickly understand the things which you don't realize. For example, you've gotten orders, then you have to figure out, well, how am I going to ship these out? And some people don't even, you know, they don't think about boxes or packing materials or anti-static bags or, you know, all of these different things that you don't think about initially, which basically you have to deal with once that first order comes through the door. And so it's a good wake up call, and you know, it's something you got to learn just by doing it.
Mm-hmm. Would you want to like look at the top products most sold on Tindy, and maybe we can try to understand a little bit what's the good practices this maker has, and could maybe be a good bunch of tips for makers listening to this podcast, I feel.
So we don't have the all-time top mm-hmm. sellers, but if you go on the homepage, you'll see that all-time favorites link at the very top. If you click on that, that'll give you basically the top sellers recently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that the vast majority of these ones right here on the homepage are either bare PCBs or they're kits. So that's the first thing. And that's mm-hmm. the easiest way to get going, obviously, is if you're just selling a bare PCB or a kit, you know, that's the starter level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great way to get going. You know, in terms of trends or what have they done differently that other people have that haven't, that's I guess the more tricky question, because it's very interesting. So, you know, the number two product right now on the list was just a simple silkscreen reference card. Mm-hmm. Nothing, you know, there's nothing, I guess, inherently proprietary about it. It's just a great idea that was well done, and it sold fantastically.
I guess it's something that exists somewhere else, or maybe not that much. Maybe it's hard to find.
I don't know if it does. I think it's basically he was the first one to just, here's the idea, and the price is great. And people say, yeah, I mean, it's like $2.50. You know, mm-hmm. why not?
And I see that you have a few options to I mean, it's also a little social network in a way, right? You can have followers, you can have questions or interact with each other. Is it something that's really helping the store of someone when you're very active on Tindy, or it's not really related?
I know it is. I mean, the whole point is that for something that's new and has very little social proof, you want that sort of affirmation that other people think this is a great product, that other people have also purchased it. So that's the whole point of the reviews, people following products so you can see who else has previously purchased it or previously is following, what's going on with this product, because we'll still get updates from sellers on products. And so it's a great way basically to keep up to date on what's going on. And then basically before people purchase it, the questions are basically just a simple way for people to, you know, organize around a product. If one person has the question, generally speaking, you know, more people are going to have it as well. So that's why we made those open and public. And it's just a quick, easy way to basically get your question directly to the seller and get an answer out there, which other people can see and benefit from as well. So there is definitely a social component to it, which is different, I guess, from, you know, a traditional buying experience on Amazon, for example, where you're not going to ultimately have, you know, the manufacturer answering questions on the Amazon page. That's just unheard of. So I guess we're different in that regard.
I know that Tindy change, you make a lot of change very, very often. It's a very much changing, I mean, updating website. I know at some point there was some fundraising features. Is it still here? Was it a successful experiment? Where are you going? What's the next feature coming up?
Sure. So we do still have that. So those are called fundraisers, and it's basically just a way to get quick pre-orders on a product. And right now we've got 4 that are live. And if you look on the left sidebar, you'll see where you can filter from the show all to active fundraisers, and you can see the ones that are there. It's something that I think it's an interesting experiment that we've been running, because there's a couple things. Sellers don't the quality varies on what people expect to sell and what's just basically they're throwing out there to test. And I think that's the right thing to do. I mean, you know, you don't want to basically buy a bunch of inventory up front and then have no orders because you basically predicted that you would sell a lot and at the end of the day you haven't. So people are using it in the right way. I think we can do a much better job in terms of answering that question before it reaches the fundraiser step. So something that we're looking into right now is the ability for sellers to basically launch a project on the site and let people start to follow it without actually having to pay for it, without putting any money forward, and basically see, are there people actually interested in this project up front? And if there are, and if there's a certain amount, then you can basically turn it into, okay, great, we're going to take this and roll it into a fundraiser and start accepting some pre-orders for the next couple of weeks. And that basically will let them test that demand, you know, even sooner, but also get critical feedback before they throw it up there as a fundraiser to start to gauge the demand, because, you know, it's a tricky dance, but, you know, more feedback more often is generally speaking a much better thing than, you know, buying inventory and getting it out the door, because you're going to learn a lot quicker and a lot cheaper that way.
It's a little bit the lean startup applied to hardware world.
Exactly. You got it.
Do you select when someone put a product on his store, does he have to have a certain amount of samples available, or can you just put your prototype out there and see who is buying and then start to, you know, wonder about how to actually manufacture it?
Yeah. I mean, that's what people have done. I think it's start with small quantities and you build up from there. So to give you an example, there's a product called Femtiduino, which is just an embeddable Arduino clone. He's had, I can't remember how many different runs, but basically he threw a couple up on the site initially, sold out, we got more in. We sold out within a couple hours. I mean, every time that he has thrown up more and more units, he's had to order more and more, and he's basically continued to sell out. And I think we finally reached a point where he's able to stay in stock, but it looks like right now there's only 7 left in stock, so he's about to run out again. So it's something that they learn. So, you know, you build up your inventory and you build up your run size as time progresses and as demand calls for it. And I think that's the best way to do it. So you could throw one up for sale, or you could throw, you know, thousands. It's kind of up to you, but we advise, you know, learning on the job, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Great. And just to be clear, you take a commission on each sales, or mm-hmm. how does it work?
Yeah, that's right. So it's free to list anything. So we have, you know, it's free, no listing fees. And we only make money basically on 5% of the total order size, which is the cost of the product plus shipping. And that's where we make our money right now, is if we can drive orders for the sellers, then we think we've done our job. If we can't, then there's no reason for anybody to pay us. So that's kind of our philosophy, and it's worked really well for us. And it's still cheaper than Amazon or eBay, mm-hmm. any of these other, you know, marketplaces, retail outlets. So we think we're on something.
Mm-hmm. How many people are in the team?
Right now there's 5, including myself. So we've got 4 other engineers spread across the U.S. and Canada.
All right. Great. Yeah. Well, is there any other tip or special recommendation you want to tell to maybe makers who have a product in mind or have something in their garage but haven't really take the step to start selling?
Sure.
What are the fears, you know, like what are there?
So I guess, you know, it definitely if you have questions, we've got the Freenode channel, which is just, you know, #10D again. So if you have questions, you can talk to real sellers in real time there. Or if you'd like to just leave a post on our forum, up in the header, there's a sell tab, and you can see the seller's forum. And that's an easy way for you to basically toss any ideas up on there as well. And then my email is just Emile@10D, so Emile@10D.com. If you have questions, just feel free to reach out in any way possible. We're happy to help, and I think it's something that, you know, as you're saying, we're seeing the same thing, that this is really kind of exploding right now, and it's just getting started over the last 2 years or so with people making these small hardware companies, but they're having a really big impact. So, you know, the more people that join in, the merrier, and I think it's just really exciting to see what's happening and what people are making.
All right, so the interview with Emile is now done. I wanted to tell you that on makingsociety.com, starting today, you will find a series of interviews with indie sellers who share their stories and their strategies to start selling their products. See you soon for a new episode of the Making Society podcast. Bye.